Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Verse Number 28. Suta Uvacha Evam Chintayato Jishno Krishna Pada Sororuham Sohardena Tigadena Santasid Vimalamati. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Sutta Goswami said, thus, being deeply absorbed in thinking of the instructions of the Lord, which were imparted in the great intimacy of friendship, and in thinking of his lotus feet, Arjuna's mind became pacified and free from all material contamination. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Since the Lord is absolute, deep meditation upon him is as good as yogic trance. The Lord is non-different from his name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, and specific actions. Arjuna began to think of the Lord's instructions to him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Only those instructions began to eliminate the tinges of material contamination in the mind of Arjuna. The Lord is like the sun. The sun's appearance means immediate dissipation of darkness or ignorance. And the Lord's appearance within the mind of the devotee can at once drive away the miserable material effects. Lord Chaitanya has therefore recommended constant chanting of the name of the Lord for protection from all contamination of the material world. The feeling of separation from the Lord is undoubtedly painful to the devotees, but because it is in connection with the Lord, it has specific transcendental effect, which pacifies the heart. Feelings of separation are also sources of transcendental bliss, and they are never comparable to contaminated material feelings of separation. Srila Prabhupada Patita Pavani Ki Jai. So this first point is very, very important. It says, since the Lord is absolute, deep meditation upon him is as good as yogic trance. So in the second chapter, Bhagavad Gita is a very interesting and important verse, which says, so anybody who basically it says anyone who thinks that the results obtained by Sankhya Yoga or any other yoga is different than results attained by Bhakti Yoga is mistaken. So, in other words, it's what is being said here also. It says, since the Lord is absolute, deep meditation upon him is as good as yogic trance. What's yogic trance? It's samadhi, where the mind is completely fixed on the relationship with the super soul. So, deep meditation upon Krishna is as good as yogic trance. The Lord is non-different from his name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, and specific actions. So, the devotee can meditate just like Arjuna is meditating on the instructions that he received from Krishna. That's the same as meditating directly on Krishna. Thus, being deeply absorbed in thinking of the instructions of the Lord, which were imparted in the great intimacy of friendship, and in thinking of his lotus feet, Arjuna's mind became pacified and free from all material contamination. So this concept that people engaged in like Patanjali yoga or people engaged in deep meditation that is more important than going on Sankirtan and chanting Hare Krishna or preaching about the Lord or teaching Bhagavad Gita. That's not true. That's a false statement. And this is something that devotees have to be convinced of. Sometimes devotees, when newer people come to Krishna consciousness, to show that they are some kind of yogi, they will sit in the temple in front of the deities, close their eyes, sit in a lotus position, and pretend to meditate, without knowing that the real object of meditation is Krishna, Radha and Krishna. That looking at Radha and Krishna is actually the goal of meditation, or meditating on Radha and Krishna is actually the goal of meditation. So these are some of the things that we encounter. So if you tell someone who comes to the temple and sits down in the lotus position with their hands like this on their knees, and they're right in front of the deities, but their eyes are closed, and they're meditating as if they are... By the way, real yogis never close their eyes and never keep them open. They're half closed or half open. If you close your eyes, what will happen? You'll eventually go to sleep. So yogis don't close their eyes, but they don't keep them completely open either. So unless people understand how to please Krishna, whatever they do will not be complete. And because of that, they have a good chance of falling down. So Arjuna is meditating or thinking about the instructions that he received from Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And it says that these were imparted in great intimacy of friendship. So this is a very important point. When we are trying to teach someone something, it should be done with this air of intimacy and sincere friendship. So Prabhupada had said in his letters to devotees that one should not be harsh in their dealings with devotees. One should be friendly and try and convince them with kind words and friendly attitude. That's what Arjuna, that's what Krishna did to Arjuna. Of course, he started out in an indirect way telling Arjuna that he was a fool because he was lamenting for something that's not worthy of lamenting. But that's what a guru does. Prabhupada often said to his disciples that my first duty is to point out imperfections or point out inappropriate things that the devotees are doing. Because unless you can correct a person's behavior, you're not actually a guru, or you're not actually a real teacher. You can't just sit there and tolerate a person committing offenses or making mistakes and not try and help them correct those mistakes. So this is the problem. If you do try and correct the mistakes of someone, oftentimes they get angry and they don't want to accept such instructions. So therefore, this friendly attitude, this kindness, this patience, this determination with intimacy to help someone is extremely important, because we all have the desire not to be surrendered to Krishna and not to be, let's say, willing to listen and take good advice. So this is also explained where it says in the 16th chapter, Asatyam apratistam te jagat ahur anishwaram aparaspara sambhutam kim anyat kama haitukam. They say, that means the asuras, that the world is unreal, with no foundation, no God in control. They say it's produced a sex desire and has no cause other than lust. So this is the state of being of most living entities. Not all, but most. So Prabhupada explains, the demonic conclude that the world is phantasmagoria. In other words, it's something that is illusory and something that has some great, it's like a great show, but it's actually not real. So there's no cause and effect, no controller, no purpose. Everything is unreal. They say that this cosmic manifestation arises due to chance, material action and reactions. They do not think that the world was created by God for a certain purpose. So these are all conclusions that people are living with. And they also, their prayer, and it's very ironic, sometimes they say, my only prayer is, I pray, they don't say who they pray to, that there's nothing after death. That means they're not going to be held responsible. So therefore, they're free to act in this whimsical, demonic way without any fear of a judgment. This, of course, is all false. There's no factual basis to it. They have their own theory that the world has come about in its own way, and that there is no reason to believe that there is a God behind it. For them, there is no difference between spirit and matter, and they do not accept the Supreme Spirit. In other words, for them, everything is matter. Everything is matter only, and the whole cosmos is supposed to be a mass of ignorance. According to them, everything is void, and whatever manifestation exists is due to our ignorance in perception. They take it for granted that all manifestation of diversity is a display of ignorance. Just as a dream, we may create so many things which actually have no existence. So this is what you're faced with. This is the type of people that we're meeting. This is the type of junk education they're getting, and they become convinced of these principles. So to bring them to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, one has to expend 100 gallons of blood. Well, even if you drop a few drops of blood, it's distressful. But imagine 100 gallons of blood. So that's how hard it is to help someone become a devotee. But therefore, it's necessary that it be done, as Prabhupada uses this wonderful phrase, that Krishna imparted the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna in great intimacy of friendship. Very important point. This is not only a preaching strategy, but it's actually the nature of the devotee to have this feeling out of compassion for fallen souls and in their terrible, dire condition. Just like there's a true story of a person who was a thief in India and in Mumbai, and he was in jail. And in jail, he got a Back to Godhead magazine. And while he was reading Back to Godhead magazine, he saw a picture of Prabhupada. And he saw that Prabhupada had an expensive watch on his wrist. So he became, determined to meet Prabhupada so he could steal that watch. This is a true story. And eventually he did get out of jail, and he went to Juhu Beach temple. It was still somewhat in construction, but Prabhupada's room was sort of ready, and Prabhupada was there, and he asked to see Prabhupada. And somehow or other, the devotees let him in. And he was sitting across from Prabhupada's desk. It's one of his low desks, and Prabhupada was sitting low also, and he was sitting in front of him, looking at him, and Prabhupada had the watch on that he saw in the magazine. So this was his chance. But the way Prabhupada spoke to him, with a sense of this, same kind of sense of, intimacy, of friendship, Prabhupada was kind. And this guy was a thief. But, you know, he was like touched by Prabhupada's attitude to meet him so he could sit intimately in front of him. And they were talking nicely. And Prabhupada said, "So what is your purpose?" And he admitted why he came. He told him that he's a thief. He was in jail. He read the Back to Godhead magazine and saw that Prabhupada had an expensive watch on his wrist. And he said, "I came here to steal your watch." And Prabhupada took his watch off and handed it to him. And he was shocked. He was shocked, and he didn't accept it. And from that point on, he tried to become a devotee. And eventually he did become a devotee, and he's still there in Mumbai, serving in the Juhu temple. It's an amazing story, a true story. So we see that this attitude of imparting or teaching Bhagavad Gita in the great intimacy of friendship touches people's hearts and is very significant in helping even a demon, as described here in the 16th chapter, verse number 8. It continues, "Then when we are awake, we see that everything is simply a dream. But factually, although the demons say that life is a dream, they are very expert in enjoying this dream. And so, instead of acquiring knowledge, they become more and more implicated in their dreamland." Just like the thief was imagining getting out of prison and going to meet Prabhupada to steal his watch. That's a dreamland. That's crazy. They conclude that as a child is simply the result of sexual intercourse between man and woman, this world is born without any soul. For them, it is only a combination of matter that has produced the living entities, and there's no question of the existence of the soul. These are all conclusions of the demons, and most people are demons. As many living creatures come out from the perspiration and from a dead body without any cause, the whole living world has come out of the material combinations of the cosmic manifestation. Therefore, material nature is the cause of this manifestation. There is no other cause. They do not believe in the words of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, "Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam." Under my direction, the whole material world is moving. In other words, among the demons, there's no perfect knowledge of the creation of the world. Every one of them has some particular theory of his own. According to them, one interpretation of the scriptures is as good as another, for they do not believe in a standard understanding of the scriptural injunctions. Now imagine how you can convince a person like this to become a devotee. It's not an easy thing. But what cuts across the lines of demarcation, the lines of impenetrable line of where one is convinced of the demoniac point of view, the only way you can penetrate that is through intimacy of friendship. And so think about that. Preaching is a very, very deep meditation for a devotee to find ways and means to convince someone to take up Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hari Bol. Are there any questions?
Yogi Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.